Certainly good to see everyone here this morning. We're glad you're here, and if you are visiting with us, we hope you'll plan to be back with us and get to know us as we close today. Stick around for a while, but certainly good for all of us to be here. I'm glad that spring is finally getting here, except for my sinuses. They don't like it very much, so y'all bear with me if I sniffle and everything a little bit this morning. One of my first jobs, I remember we had some kind of a training day or workshop day. I don't really know what the whole deal was, but it was supposed to help us build as a team and get motivated together and all that kind of thing. But there was one thing that I really remember about that day is at one point, the guy that was directing all of it, he had us all get up, and I had only known some of these people for just 2 or 3 weeks, you know, didn't know them very well at all, but he had us get up, and we formed some kind of a circle around the table, and we got in a chain line, you know, turned our backs kind of to one another. And the challenge in that was we had to fall back and let that person who we did not know catch us, you know. And I'm not that big of a guy, so I really wasn't worried about that. But as I looked around the room, I thought, well, this could get interesting, you know, with everybody that's doing this. And so we went through that deal, and everybody did it, some more reluctantly than others, you know, kind of almost like false falling and hesitating. And the point at the end of all of it is, you know, you've got to trust one another. You've got to be willing to go out on that limb. You've got to be willing to break down whatever that wall is that holds, you know, between you and them. You've got to work as a team. There's got to be some level of faith between you as a company for you to be really great at what you're going to do. I want to ask you this morning, what are you doing by faith? I think about this a lot with, as I've got the picture up here with our kids. You know, we get a kid up on a edge of something, and they'll, you know, jump to us, right? Jump to us. It's one of the ways, maybe even a swimming pool, that we get them over the fear of the waters. We get in there first, and we have them jump to us, you know, in the water. And even in that case, many times the kids, they're hesitating, they're reluctant, but the more they focus on you, right, because you're their parent, because you're their friend, because you're the person they trust, right? The more they focus on you, they finally find that courage to take that leap of faith and to do what it is that they need to do. I've heard Brother Lowell Salee talk about faith as us being on one side of a great, you know, divide like the Grand Canyon. And we're on one bluff over here, and we get back as far as we can, and we run as hard as we can, and we jump as far as we can, knowing we can't make it to the other side. And the grace of God is that He brings us the rest of the way. But we've still got to jump. Faith is very much that way. And so I want to ask you again this morning, what are you doing by faith? I think far too often we get comfortable in this life, and we only do the things that we're comfortable with. And because of that, maybe we're not standing for the faith the way we should. Maybe we're not presenting and living our faith the way we should. Maybe we're not witnessing for Jesus the way that we should. And maybe we're not making inroads and making progress and making growth personally as well as what we could do to grow the church because we're standing on that edge and we're not jumping. We're not going anywhere. Another way the Bible presents this to us is found in Ephesians 6 and verse 16. And in that chapter, we often study about the whole armor of God that's presented. But I only want to focus on verse 16 for a moment this morning, because there he says, above all, taking the shield of faith, with which you will be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked one. The shield of faith. And as he describes that armor, and as you go back to the original language, it seems that he's using terms that tied back to the Roman armor. And these people would have been familiar with that because they had seen Roman-type soldiers all around in their culture and in their day-to-day activities. Today, well, we might start describing what we see on some of our military people, the camouflage and the different helmets and the different boots and the different kind of guns. And some of you could start talking about guns and you'd leave me way in the past. I wouldn't know what was what. I'm just not up on those things. But some of you are. Well, here, as Paul uses those terms, this would have meant something to these people. And the Roman shield, some would debate on which one he was talking about, but either way you can make points from it. I want to focus on the one that maybe it seems more likely he was using that was the larger of the shields. They had a handheld shield, a little small disc shield that they would use in combative battle, hand-to-hand fighting kind of deal. But the army The ground troop army more often used the large shield. About 4 foot, I say large, it would have been large for me. You know, 4 foot shield, that would have covered all of me right there, right? And then, you know, 2.5, 3 foot wide, something like that. And it had an armband in the backside of it so it could be mounted to the arm. And the idea of that shield was for the soldier to be able to plant it in the ground and literally duck down behind it. Duck down behind it. Okay, there was a couple of laughs. But he could plant it in the ground, duck down behind it. But it wasn't so large that it was difficult to carry. It wasn't so large that he couldn't peek out from around it and see what was going on. It wasn't so tall that he couldn't see over it if he was just standing up. They also, in many cases, put something really shiny right in the center of it. And you think about that in battle. We would use maybe some kind of a light or something like that. And in many cases today, the battles are done with camouflage and hiding everything. Well, they weren't trying to hide anything here. They're foot soldiers. They're out there. So they put something shiny on the front side of that shield so that the sunlight and everything reflecting off of it will make it even that more difficult to look at. You ever been out somewhere where reflection is coming off of something and you're just squinting? And if you're like me and have kind of sensitive eyes, you just can't hardly handle it, you know? So if y'all ever talk to me out in the parking lot and I'm kind of looking at you funny, I'm not messed up. It's sensitive eyes. This shield was strategic. Not only that, but the leather or the coating that they would put on it, they would also soak it down with some kind of a lacquer, some kind of a moisture type substance, so that when they faced someone that was going to bring at them fiery darts, that when it would hit that and stick in, it would just go out. That's it. The Roman soldiers, they knew what they were doing with a shield. And as you see in this picture here, when a group of them came together, they would get in these formations that was like, you know, turtles in a shell, to where they were protected on all sides. The front men holding their shield in front, the middle men holding their shield over the top, the sides and the back holding them to the sides. And they could march right up on somebody firing arrows or whatever at them, and it didn't even matter. If I ask you in the beginning this morning again, what are you doing by faith? And specifically, are you carrying the shield of faith? Does that bring a thought to your mind that, well, maybe I'm not? I think many times we do forget what it really means to have faith in God, to have faith in His Word, to have faith in His Son, to have faith in His church, to have faith in the things that He's called us to do. And for some reason, we leave the shield at home. For some reason, we're going into battle and we're just not prepared the way that we should be. And then we get those opportunities to show our faith and we're timid. We stand on the edge because we don't have that shield ready. We're not willing to jump. I want us to think for a few minutes about what has been done by faith. What has been done by faith? You know, many times, maybe a child at a swimming pool will have courage to jump when they see somebody else do it, right? And maybe even us. Maybe we watch, and as much as we want to be our own person and be an adult, many times if we examine the way we do things, we only have the courage to do something when we've seen someone else do it, right? In Hebrews chapter 11, we have a whole chapter that's dedicated to faith. In the first few verses, faith is defined for us. Now, faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. For by it the elders obtained a good testimony. By faith we understand that the worlds were framed by the Word of God, so that the things which are seen were not made of the things which are visible. And then beginning in verse 4, he begins giving examples of faith. And I'm not going to read all of this, but we're going to browse through it and just think about each one for a moment. In verse 4, he says that by faith Abel offered to God a more excellent sacrifice than Cain. Abel offered a sacrifice by faith. That seems like a simple thing, doesn't it? Something, and we're not told all the details, something had been given to Abel and to Cain as well, that they were to offer a sacrifice to God. And Abel did it by faith. He did it. Hebrews 11 there in verse 5, by faith Enoch was taken away so that he did not see death. We read about Enoch walking with God. Enoch was a man of faith, a man of God. He was obedient to God. And we see revealed in that him being taken from this life, not seeing death. And it's an example of faith. Was Enoch a special person? Did he not have red blood like you and me? Did he not have aches and pains in the morning like you and me? I'm sure he did. But he didn't see death. Down in verse 7, by faith, Noah, being divinely warned of things not yet seen, moved with godly fear, prepared an ark for the saving of his household. Noah prepared an ark. Was Noah a well-known boat builder? Well, if he was, we weren't told that. But Noah prepared this great ark by the standard that God had set out, by faith. Had he ever seen a flood? No. But he prepared an ark. You know, you think about it, some of the things that we're asked to do as Christians, that we're asked to do as followers of God, in our own logical mind, many of them wouldn't make sense, would they? We mentioned in the auditorium class this morning, you go try to read the book of Revelation, having never studied any of the rest of the Bible, and it won't make a lick of sense to you. Because the language is that the Bible uses all the way through. But when we study the Bible and we understand what sacrifice means and we understand what prophecies are and we understand the promises of God and we understand the moral standards of God, and then when God asks us to do it, it takes our faith to make it happen. To make the jump, to make the move, and to do it. Noah prepared an ark. What are you doing by faith? Hebrews 11 and verse 8, by faith Abraham obeyed when he was called to go out to the place which he would receive as an inheritance. And he went out not knowing where he was going. Abraham, he left his home country. He left the place that he was going to get the inheritance of his father from, where it was a sure thing. He knew it. You ever feel like you've got a sure thing in life? Many of us perhaps have felt that way. We need to be sure we're willing to turn loose of that, because our next opportunity of faith may require us to leap in a different direction. Abraham was willing to go. Hebrews 11, down in verse 20. By faith, Isaac blessed Jacob and Esau concerning things to come. Isaac hadn't seen the future. Isaac had apparently been revealed some things by God, but Isaac was showing faith that God was working through his family. That's what he had been promised. And thereby he blessed Jacob and Esau. When you look at your children, do you think about the future that not you have for them, but that God has for them? That's what Isaac did. Hebrews 11 and verse 21. By faith Jacob, when he was dying, blessed each of the sons of Joseph and worshipped leaning on the top of his staff. Same kind of thing here where Jacob blesses the sons of Joseph, knowing that God had a plan. He wasn't going to see the whole thing. Do we realize here today that this congregation hopefully will go on for years beyond any of us? That God has a plan? That is bigger than any of us individually? And are we looking for things in that way? Are we willing to give our blessing upon things? Are we willing to give our effort toward things? Are we willing to give our time and our money and whatever it takes by faith to make things happen? Hebrews 11, verse 22, by faith Joseph, when he was dying, made mention of the departure of the children of Israel and gave instructions concerning his bones. Joseph, he knew that God was going to take Israel back to the promised land. And so by faith, he said, take my bones when you go. What about us? Are we planning for the future spiritually, eternally, so that we could speak in terms like that, that we're looking forward to an eternal home no matter what this earth may bring us? Hebrews 11, verse 23 through 29, Moses, by faith, he delivered the people of Israel out of Egypt, out of bondage. By faith, he chose to serve God as a servant. Hebrews 11 and verse 30, by faith, the walls of Jericho fell down after they were encircled for 7 days. No doubt, the work of God, but it required also the work of the people by faith. The plan to bring down the walls of Jericho, it didn't involve big cannons and missiles and fire that could burn it down, knock it down, blow it down. No, it involved walking around it and blowing trumpets. So what did it actually involve? It involved obedience to God by faith. And then God made it happen. In the latter part of that chapter, well, one more specific example, verse 31, by faith, the harlot Rahab did not perish with those who did not believe when she had received the spies with peace. I want to emphasize that one for a moment, because here's Rahab, and she's known as the harlot. That's not a good way to be known, is it? Any of you ladies, would that be the way you'd like to be known? But how about being listed here in Hebrews chapter 11? That she may have been a harlot in the past, but by faith, she recognized the work of God. And notice the statement. She didn't perish with those who did not believe. So what does that indicate about Rahab? She believed. She believed and acted by faith. No matter where you are today, you could take steps along the path of faith to get in the right. If the description of you today doesn't sound very good, such as Rahab the harlot, the description could become so much better real quick if you're willing to walk by faith, to take whatever leap is necessary, to take up that shield and make some changes. In the latter part of the chapter, verses 32 through 37, there's a great list here. In verse 32, he says, "And what more shall I say, for the time would fail me to tell of Gideon and Barak and Samson and Jephthah, also of David and Samuel and the prophets." And then he starts telling what all had happened with these people. There were kingdoms subdued. They worked righteousness. They obtained promises. They stopped the mouths of lions. They quenched the violence of fire. Now think about that. Do you, just knowing Bible stories, do some things ring a bell there? Stopped the mouths of lions. Who was put in the lion's den? Daniel. And his faith is part of why he was saved. Who was put into the fiery furnace? Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, right? And God didn't allow them to be burned. They escaped the edge of the sword. Out of weakness, they were made strong. They became valiant in battle. Think about all those battles that were won by the people of God when they were outnumbered, when they were outmanned, when there was no logical reason for them to win the battle, but God let them win. They were valiant in battle. Think about David, who slew Goliath as a young man and was looked at as someone who nobody would send into battle. But then what did David become known for? All of his victories in battle. They fought armies. Women received their dead raised to life again. And then in the latter part, he says that they were tortured, mocked, scourged, chained, imprisoned, stoned, sawn in two, slain with a sword, homeless, destitute, afflicted and tormented. Some of those stories of faith are great, and they're majestic and they're impressive. Others are disturbing, difficult, hard to swallow. But they're all stories of faith. And when you look at this chapter, I want you to think about that question. What has been done by faith? And think of these people. They weren't superhumans. That's another thing that I think messes us up today, because we grew up watching cartoons and it was Superman and Batman and the Ninja Turtles, and it was all these guys that had superhuman capabilities, and they're the ones that beat the bad guys, and they were the ones that were the heroes. And even today, some of the grown-up television is all about these great superhuman heroes. But this chapter is not about superhumans. They're just like you and me. But they acted by faith. And they became great. What are you going to do by faith? At the end of this chapter, in verse 39 and 40, he says, "And all these, having obtained a good testimony through faith, did not receive the promise. God having provided something better for us, that they should not be made perfect apart from us." I want you to really think about the word "us" in those verses. That's us. Here today. That we're not going to be completed, or we're not going to be left out or left separate from the likes of Abel and Moses and Abraham, and Enoch, and Joseph, and Jacob, and Isaac, and Rahab. That we can be remembered just like the walls of Jericho were remembered as they fell down. That we can do things of faith, not apart from them, but seen as the same. You see what was said there. They obtained a good testimony through faith. God had approved of their faith. But they've not yet received the promise. Why? Because God's still waiting on you and me to do our part by faith. So what will we do by faith? In Hebrews chapter 12, verse 1 and 2, it says, "Therefore, we also, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which so easily ensnares us, and let us run with endurance the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and has sat down at the right hand of the throne of God." What will you do by faith? Do it all by faith. Take the shield of faith every day. I put one last picture up here. It's a lone Roman soldier, but he's got all the armor on. You see it? He's got the helmet on. He's got the breastplate on. He's got the sword. He's got the sandals. But what's he standing behind? The shield. If you're not standing behind your faith, then life will be difficult, and in the end, it will not have been worth living. Because faith is the victory that overcomes the world, we're told. Faith is what leads us to believe. Faith is what leads us to be willing to repent, to be baptized into Christ, to put on Christ. Faith is what keeps us going when the times get tough, when the days seem difficult, when everything seems to be against us, when the devil is shooting the fiery darts. Faith as a shield is what takes on those hits and allows us to keep pressing on. But remember the first picture. Our faith is much stronger when we link it together. Let's be sure that not only do we take our individual shield of faith, but that we come together as brothers and sisters in Christ, and we put our shields together so that there's nothing that can come against us. This morning, if you're not of the faith the way you should be, then why not? The next thing you need to do by faith is give obedience to God. And you've got that opportunity today. If you've wandered away and made mistakes, it shows that you've put down the shield of faith. Pick it back up today. By repentance and prayer, you can be restored. All things are ready for us to help you. You've got to have the courage to jump, to make that leap of faith. And if you're willing to today, won't you come while we stand and sing?
There's a fountain free for you.